to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Go ahead and make it big if you would. It's a little slow. It must be. And go ahead and enlarge it. Your number again, the text, your number is 99503. And here's what we're going to play just for a minute. Are you smarter than your mother? Come on, somebody. Let's play this right now. Are you smarter than your mother? All right, all the youth, if you're being supported, here's your first question today. Are you smarter than your mother? What do you do? What do you add to a roux to make it thicker? Flour, cornstarch, all the above, none of the above. 7771, and you know how to do that. Go ahead and start texting in your answers. Are you smarter than your mother? We just started some real easy ones here. There's 100% on one. Come on. Everybody else, come on, text in. All the youth, text in. Anybody else text in? Only had one person text in so far. You having problems texting? Now we got 50, come on. Are you smarter than your mother? Come on, we're going to do this real fast. I thought you guys were fast. You didn't bring your cell phones. Nobody brought you. Has anybody got cell phones they can loan the kids over there? Loan the kids a few cell phones. If you got your cell phone with you, you know, loan it to your kid. Most of you take it away from your kids when they come in. Go ahead and loan a cell phone. And you only do it once, so every cell phone. All right, we're at 13%, 25%, 63%. Come on, real quickly, get another 5 seconds. Text in 99503. Oh, now we're down. Are you smarter than your mother? Now, I know they think so, but we're going to find out today. Are they smarter than their mother? What do you add to a roux to make it thicker? I know it because I have the answers. I know all of them. All right, another one. Here we go. All right, here we go. We have flour, 54%, cornstarch. Whoop, here we go, a little bit different. Not even a percentage there. 57. All right, the correct answer is C, all of the above. 14%. Who was the 14%? Let's see your hands. Who was the 14%? There's back in the back. All right, got one person. All right, number two. Put number two up there real quick. We need to run through these. Number two, are you smarter than your mother? Come on, you got to get quicker. There you go. That internet, I know it's slow. Click that little thing. Double click that thing. Go ahead. All right, here we go. What did Mr. Whipple advertise? Don't ask anybody. Don't ask. Don't talk. This is individual scoring. What did Mr. Whipple advertise? 99503, key in your numbers. Oscar Mayer, Campbell Soup, Band-Aids, Charmin. Which one did Mr. Whipple advertise? Are you smarter than your mother? Come on. 99503. Oh, there's one, believes it's Charmin. Two people. Come on, y'all typing in. Are you smarter than your mother? Four people, five people. All right, the correct answer is what? All the moms say it? Charmin, all right, you're okay on that. Number three, go quickly. Oh, well, who did it? Somebody put one up there? Who chose that one? Band-Aid. Who chose Band-Aid back there? Who did Campbell's soup? All right, go on the next question. We're rolling on. They're messing up. All right, here we go, number three. What is bon ami? Bon ami, is that what? Bon ami? Bon ami? I'll tell you what it is. What you say? Oh, I know what it is. And I know I don't use it. All right. Go ahead, text it in real quick. 99503. No cheating in the back. Oh, they're all holding up trying to get a signal. Is that what you're trying to do? Everybody's trying to get a signal. See, if you had AT&T, you wouldn't have a problem. No, I'm just kidding. Three, four believe it's a cleaner. Five believe. All right, and all the mothers said it's what? Cleaner. I never use it. I don't know what it is. All right, number four. Oh, somebody thought it was makeup. It's probably what your mama uses on you sometimes. All right. What can you use to get a stain out of clothes? Hairspray, Lysol, olive oil, Pledge. What can you use to get a stain out of clothes? Text in 99503. Are you smarter than your mother? Are you smarter than your mother? Hairspray. Got one person picked hairspray. No. Another picked olive oil. Oh, another one picked olive oil. Another one picked olive oil. Five picked olive oil. I'm going to tell you, half of you are going to have some spotty clothes. I'll tell you that right now. And the correct answer is hairspray. All right, give a good hairspray. All right, number five, real quick, we need to go through this. Fifth question, are you smarter than your mother? What channel can you watch the show What Not to Wear on? I know your tongue goes in gear before your brain, but the key is... Go to number six. All right. Do not shout the answer out. Number six. How much does a gallon of milk cost? Are you smarter than your mother? How much does a gallon of milk cost? $1, $4, $7, $10. How much does a gallon of milk cost? One of them picked $4. One of them picked $10. I'm going to tell you that one, whoever that one is, you're going to be shrinking. Just watch this. All right. And the correct answer is what? $4. One last question today. Number seven, fill in the blank. And we've kind of, now this isn't exactly correct, but see how much they know the Bible, because it says that it speaks of a man, but we're also going to include this as a woman. It says, fill in the blank. Blessed is the woman whose blank is full. And the Bible says blessed is a man, but we put this, this is Mother's Day, so we put mother in there. What is the Bible verse says? Blessed is the woman whose blank is full. Quiver. What I put quiver. Come on, text in. Home is full. Come on, somebody, nobody shoot. Heart is full. Yeah. Spoken like a man. I had to be a guy doing this. And the correct answer is quiver. That's the biblical word is quiver. We've spoken about all that. Give him a great clap offering, would you? Now, let me ask, did anybody get every one of them right? Did anybody get all of them right? Anybody get them all of them right? Okay, your mama doesn't get a gift then. Your mama would have gotten a gift. All right, we have other gifts to do today. My wife's going to do it. She's going to read off some questions, and we're going to go through his.
How many know the quiver in a woman is her heart? Yeah. Well, anyways. But who can find a virtuous woman, and in this case, a mom, for her price is far above rubies? And just... You know, we honor you today because God has blessed you. And some of you are spiritual moms as well, that you have children that look up to you. And I was just talking with a dear friend of mine this morning and how, you know, our children really look up to us and they're learning from us. And then we're examples to others as well. So mothers, we honor you today. You are a mom and you're here. You're a woman that is a virtuous woman and you're price is far above rubies. And how many of you know that we do make mistakes? I was thinking about it this morning. As much as I teach my children the word, and today Jennifer is here. Benjamin's on his way to Europe for a class. He's going for a class, yes. And but this morning I was remembering a story that I used to teach him God's word every day, and we would say the verses, and we would say it over and over in the car, at home, sitting down, standing up, sleeping, and they will tell you that's what we did. And one day, Terry and I and Jennifer and Benjamin were in the back of the car, and they were both in their car seats, And so you will know that they were little. And Terry and I were having a very heated discussion. Very heated discussion. And we both are very expressive. And we were talking. And I kept hearing Jennifer, "Mom, Mom." And I was like, "Just a minute, Jennifer, just a minute." You know, and she was like, "Mom." And so I stopped and I turned around and said, "What is it, Jennifer?" And she said, "Be kind and compassionate to one another." So, you know what? Whatever you teach your children, it's going to come back to you. So that's a blessing planted in them, and you will reap the harvest. So we are going to do some of the gifts today that we do every year. It's our tradition. I know some of you probably say we do these every year, the same ones. But, you know, the oldest moms that we used to do are probably not here anymore. So we're going to honor the mom that is the oldest mom here. So who is a mother that's 80 and plus? Miss Mildred and Miss Erlynn. Okay, we're going to give them the... Jennifer, help us.
Just pick any of the gifts.
Let's give them a... Was there somebody there as well? Did I... Okay, if I miss hands, just stand up and point them to me. Bless you, moms. And Miss Mildred, yes, we love her. Okay, the youngest mom. Who is a mom here that's early 20s or late teens? Okay, and I can't remember your David's wife. What is your name?
Tanya.
Sandra.
Sandra. Yeah.
Let's honor her.
How old are you, Sandra? Can I ask? I guess she's young enough. How old are you, Sandra? 23. All right.
The mom with the most people here. It doesn't have to be just your children, but people you brought today with you. If you have five or more, please stand up. Five or more that are with you here.
Now we're going to keep count.
Debbie brought him from Brazil, didn't you?
All right. Count down.
Okay.
Now, six or more.
7 or more?
Keep going.
They
got so many, they don't even remember how many they brought.
Okay, 7 or more.
No,
eight
or more.
We have lots of gifts. Okay.
8 or more.
8 or more.
That's 2.
Okay.
All right, got one right there. Great. All right, give them 8. You have 8 people. Good going.
Give us a moment, and I'm going to have a heated discussion with Terry. Okay. Okay, somebody else asked me to do this one. But the mom that had her children without epidural. Oh, wow. Miss Marlene, you stand up too. Okay.
They need to get 2 gifts. They need 2 gifts apiece.
Take the basket. I think we need to ask
them. Stay standing. Y'all stay standing. All of you that did.
Oh, my goodness. Bless you.
Give them all. Okay.
You just remembered that you did it with us. Okay, I just have one more.
Okay. Okay, now let me give it from a guy's perspective. Let me ask a few questions. Who has the oldest vacuum cleaner in here today? Let's see who's got the oldest vacuum cleaner. Who's had your vacuum cleaner more than 10 years? Let's see your hands. How many's had your vacuum cleaner? Who's had your vacuum? Go ahead and stand up. You had your vacuum cleaner more than 10 years, stand up. All right, how many's had your vacuum cleaner more than 15 years? How many's had your vacuum cleaner more than 20 years? How many's had your vacuum cleaner more than 25 years? How many's had your vacuum cleaner more than 30 years? How long have you had your vacuum cleaner? You need to buy... Listen, there's no doubt what you need to buy your mother today for Mother's Day. How many years have you had your vacuum cleaner? A Kirby, yeah. And how many years have you had your Kirby? 32 years. Give her a great clap on it. That's something. right, here we go. What mother has had the most kids in a car at one time? What's the most kids you've ever had in a car at one time taking them somewhere? Who's had 5 kids in a car at one time taking them somewhere? Would you stand up? You've had 5 children in a car taking. All right, who's had 6 children in a car taking them somewhere? Illegal, illegal, illegal. Who's had 7 children in a car taking them somewhere? Who's had 8 children in a car taking? Who's had 9 children in a car taking them somewhere? Who's had 10 children in a car taking them somewhere? How many children have you had in a car? Oh, you got, oh, that, okay, that makes it. How many? Tell us. 12. And how many did you have? How many? Go ahead, give him a good clap offer, would you? Come on. Okay, let's do this. How many, I have a few gifts left or I'm almost out. Okay. How many has had the most kids at home sick at one time? Who's had the most kids at home sick, all of them sick, out of school, or at least, how many's had 5 kids at home sick at one time? Let's see your hands. Anybody had 5 kids? Who's had 4 kids at home sick at one time? One right here. We got one winner. Give her, you had 4 kids at home sick? You need a prize. Give her a prize, would you? Who has done the most loads of wash in one day? Who has done the most loads? Now think it through, because that's one of those numbers that stands in your brain. I have done. Who has done 5 loads in one day? Let's see your hands. Go ahead and stand up. All right. Who has done 10 loads in one day? What are you done? Who has done 15 loads in one day? Anybody done more than 15 loads in one day? Give Carolyn a good clap off. 15 loads in one day. I don't know if I'll get in trouble for this one or not, but we'll try it. Who was the oldest age-wise to give birth to a child? Who gave birth after 40 years old? All right, 2 of you. Who gave birth after 50 years old? Nobody. Right. Who gave birth after 48 years old? Nobody. 47, 46, 45, going to one, 45 years old, 44. 44, Carolyn again. All right, she wins again. All right, now here's a good one. We just got a few more gifts. Who has, this is your children that you gave birth to. Who has the closest in age children, not twins, you can't do that, but who has the closest in age children that you gave birth to? Who gave birth? Yeah. How close is yours? 11 months. Anybody beat 11 months? Give her another prize there. Let me see. How many prizes we have left? We have 3 left. Who has the biggest? Now, Carolyn, you're disqualified. You're not going to win again because you would win on this one, I think. Who has the biggest age gap between your youngest and your oldest? Who has 10 years between your youngest and your oldest? 10 years? Who has 15 years between your youngest and your oldest? 12 years. 15? You're over 15? What's your age difference? 23 years between your first. Give her a good clap offer, would you? All right, here we go. Since your first baby, who has moved from one house to the next, or apartment to the next? Who has moved the most since your first baby? Who has moved 3 times? Raise your hands. Who has moved 4 times? Who has moved 5 times? 6 times? 7 times? 8 times? 9 times? 10 times? 11 times? 12 times? 13 times? You're 13? 13, give him, come on, give him a good clap of him. Who has the most grandchildren? Carolyn, you're disqualified again. You've won so many gifts. This last one. Carolyn, see, Carolyn, they wrote that poem about her. She had so many, she lived in a shoe. She had so many kids, she didn't know what to do. All right, somebody else going to win. Who has the most grandkids? Who has 5 grandkids? Let's see your hand. Beautiful, wonderful grandkids. Who has 10 grandkids? All right, 15 grandkids. Still? Anybody else? Anybody, am I missing any hands? Give her one more time. Give him a good clap offering, would you? Okay, everybody say happy Mother's Day to somebody, would you? You know, today, let me go ahead and get my lapel mic, if you would. You know, one of the customs around America is, how many of you had Mother's Day in bed, breakfast in bed this morning? Let's see your hands. How many had breakfast? How many did not have breakfast in bed this morning? Well, I wouldn't even go there, what I was about to say. I'm not even going to take this. Since you bunch of guys, you don't even cook your Mother's Day breakfast anymore. They polled some school kids and the young school kids. Here's what they said. Said, why do we have mothers? One said, she's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. That's why we have mothers. Says, what ingredients are mothers made of? They said they had to get their start from men's bones, but after that they mostly used string. She said, I believe is what they did. Why do you have your mother and not some other mother? We're related. They said, we're related. What kind of little girl was your mom? My mom has always been my mom and none of the other stuff. Says, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess was she was pretty bossy as a little girl. Says, why did mom need to know? What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? Said his last name. Didn't know his last name. And one of them said she had to know his background. Like, was he a crook? Does he make at least $800 a year? Did he say no to drugs and yes to chores? That was a big deal. Why did your mom marry your dad? My dad makes the best spaghetti in the world and my mom eats a lot. That's why they said. One girl said she got too old to do anything else with him, so she married him. One of them says, my grandma says my mom didn't have her thinking cap on. That's what my grandma says. Who's the boss at your home? Little girl said, mom, you can tell by room inspection. What's the difference between moms and dads? One little girl said, moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Says, what would it take to make your mom perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. On the outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery, something like that. One little girl said, what does it take to make your mom perfect? One says, diet. She said, well, you know, her hair, I'd dye it if I was dyed. So she said, maybe blue. If you could imagine, change one thing about your mom, what would it be? She has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. And last one, I would get rid of those invisible eyes in the back of her head. You know, things, I don't know if you know many other languages, but many languages of the world, you have to know whether an object is masculine or feminine. And it depends on how you say it. And you may not know this, but many things in America are the same way. We just don't know it. And I'm going to inform you today of those things that you may be smarter when you leave here. They have a gender. Many things have a gender, like a Ziploc bag. Is a Ziploc bag male or female? Well, you don't know, but I'll tell you. It's male because they hold everything in, but you can see right through them. Come on, somebody. A tire is male gender, if you're speaking in English, because a tire becomes bald and it's often overinflated. Come on, somebody. It's male. Coffee machines are female because once you turn them on, it takes a long time for them to warm back up again. A hot air balloon is male because to get it to go anywhere, you have to light a fire under it. And of course, there's that hot air part of it about there too. Sponges are female because they're soft, squeezable, and retain water. That's sponges. A subway, no, I won't go on that one. That's not a good one. A hammer. A hammer is male because it hasn't changed much over the last 5,000 years, but it's handy to have around. That's a man. A remote control. A remote control is female. You thought it might have been male, but it's female because consider this. You'd be lost without it. And while it doesn't always, while the guy doesn't always know the right buttons to push, he keeps trying. Come on, somebody. That's male. That's female. We went to, we were at the bookstore a week or two ago, and I was thinking about Mother's Day messages and all, and what to teach, because really, we were talking among the eldership a little bit. You know, the last thing mothers need is to be taught by a man how to be a better mother. And what was worse was I used to be single for 7 years. I pastored this church single. And whenever Mother's Day rolled around, I was in a predicament. But you imagine having a single guy teach mothers about Mother's Day. And so even now, after I've had two kids, I know less now than I thought I knew back then. And especially on teaching mothers. But what I want to do today is encourage you. Because we were doing our Bible reading this week, and I mean this month. And one of the books we read through had a man that was just a great example of a man. And as I read his life, about his life and all, he literally was just a standout, honorable man. And in doing that, I began to think about his mother and what his mother was like, because nobody gets to where you are by yourself. You remember the guy that wrote Roots, he talked about, and when you go to his office, he's got the picture of that turtle on the fence post, and the caption is, it didn't get there by itself. And none of us got to where we are by ourselves. We had input into our lives. And one of the greatest inputs that you ever had into your life was your mother. And this hero of this whole book, he's the hero of this entire book of the Bible, had a mother that never speaks about her in the book, never tells about her. You don't know it, but you just see the fruit of her life. It was like Jesus spoke about the Spirit of God. He says you can't see it, but what you do is you see the effects of it. What you do see is you begin to see the effects it has on the people it touches. And a mother has that effect upon their children. And listen, right off the bat, there is not a perfect mother in here, except my mother. My mother's listening to this tape. Mom, you're perfect. You're perfect. Away. But there's not another perfect mother anywhere around. So one of the keys about doing it, we all could have done a better job. We all could have done this and done that. But at the same time, you are who you are and what you've imparted into your kids. They have become what they are because of your impartation. And when I read this chapter, this book in the Bible in our last month of reading, I just knew that this man that was a hero of this entire book had a great mom. In fact, you don't even, when I tell you who his mother was, you don't even put them together. Because it's one of those invisible things where many of these men and women that are doing great things, many times a person that was responsible, that brought them to where they are and put into their life what was put into their lives, is never even brought up. But the day is going to come in heaven when we will all receive the reward of our labor. Come on, somebody. And in that day, I'm going to guarantee you, every mother that's paid the price, every mom that's done things that absolutely no one knows about but you, the day will come when you'll pay the price. You paid the price. You'll get the reward. And this morning, I'll just say it right off the bat. The man I'm talking about is Boaz. Everybody say Boaz, would you? You know, Boaz was a hero in the book of Ruth. Boaz was the man that you remember when Naomi and Ruth come back from the land of Moab, and Ruth is a Moabite, Naomi is a Jew, and they go down, Naomi's family goes down into across into Moab because of the famine, and there her two sons marry, and the husband's got work, and in the process of time, the husband dies, the two sons die. And all that's left is Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws. Both of them are from Moab. She decides to go home, and one of them stays. One of them, Ruth, decides to go with her, travels with her mother-in-law, comes all the way back to a foreign land. She's a foreigner. She speaks a different language. She looks different. Even though she's Middle Eastern, she looks different. She's got characteristics. She's not her home country, but she, out of loyalty to her mother-in-law, comes with her back home. And when she comes back home, she meets this man by the name of Boaz. She goes out in the field as a beggar to go out there and glean after the gleaners have already gleaned the field. And she goes out there, begins to be she's just a beggar. And she's out there on her knees gleaning from the stalks. And this man Boaz, the first day she's there, comes. And we'll read the scripture in just a minute. But I used to always think about it, because as a boss, he comes riding into his workers. And let me switch up on the scripture a little bit, if you would. Donna, can you put up there, let me see if I can find that scripture I put out here. Can you put up there Ruth chapter 2? Go ahead and put Ruth chapter 2 up, if you can get that up there. I want you to see this. In Ruth chapter 2, Boaz comes into his field where all of his workers are. Now, most of you have been bosses. You got workers and all. But I want you to notice this man, what he does and what he says, if you can find that. He comes into his field, and Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man. Everybody say a worthy man. See, the Bible doesn't lie. This man was a worthy man. He's just about him. You can tell he'd been raised right. You ever met somebody who's been raised right? He'd been raised right. His mother had disciplined him. Says a relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Everybody say Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall favor. And she said, go, my daughter. And she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come. Everybody say happened. You know, when you're in God's will, things seem like they just happen. But really behind the happenstance is a God that's directing your steps. And what's about to happen is this young woman was a woman of God. She was faithful. She was just, and now God is directing her toward a man that has been raised right, a worthy man. And she went and gleaned and came to the field by chance, it seemed, belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. Great. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Everybody say Bethlehem. And said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. Listen, here, I don't know about you. How many of you, when your boss comes on the job site, the first words out of his mouth is, the Lord be with you? How many of you walk in your classrooms at school, the first words out of your professor's mouth, the Lord be with you? See, when you read any of the Old Testament, not only is this, or that's, you know, Jewish. No, even amongst the Jewish people, this stood out to me. Even amongst the situations I read in reading through the Old Testament recently, this stood out to me, because nowhere else does it say, here comes a boss, because he's the owner. He's wealthy. You'll find out he's very wealthy, and he's got all these workers. And when he comes into the workplace and into the field, the first words out of his mouth is, the Lord be with you. And notice this, and the answer is, the Lord bless you. Ain't that great? I'm going to start doing that much staff. I don't even do that. I'm a church. I don't even come in. I don't come in the office. The Lord bless you all. I don't do that coming all the way down. But he did that. And that used to intrigue me, because I said, that man has been raised right. That man had a godly mother. That man had a mother who instilled into him the word of the living God. That man saw a mom who was real. That man saw a mother who lived what she said, because now it's produced and reproduced in his life. And you can read on that took place. He's very honorable that took place. And when I began to think about his mother, I'll never forget the day. And I thought about this for years. I'll never forget the day when who his mother was came to light after reading and studying a little bit. His mother is none other than Rahab the harlot. His mother. And when you go to the bookstores, I'll guarantee you, you're looking for Mother Day, you know, little trinkets, you know, and they're talking about Esther and Hannah and Mary. And you never find a Rahab the prostitute Mother of the Year plaque up there. You don't find any flax to buy for your mama. Here, mama, this is Rahab. You remind me of Rahab the harlot. I just want to bless you. The amazing thing is, Boaz's mother is none other than Rahab the harlot. Go ahead, go back to start Joshua 1. One of the most, you remember the story of who Rahab the harlot was. Rahab was the woman when the Jews were coming into the land of Palestine and the land of Judah to get his. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all that belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You remember the story. They send spies in. The king of Jericho hears, wants to kill them. And they hide in the house of Rahab. The prostitute hides them, lies about where they are, sends them, the guys off on a goose chase, then delivers them alive. And she said, but listen, now you promise me when you come back and you destroy this city, you'll save me and my household alive. And they make the covenant with her. And the Bible says after they did this, that Rahab the prostitute in her father's household and all that belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy. And she moved, when they came to the land, she moved to none other than the city of Bethlehem. And many believe she, one of the spies that went in to check out the land after on this second time was a man by the name of Solomon, Salmon, and that she married this man, and they are the parents of Boaz. Rahab was a great, everybody say a great mom, would you say that? Rahab was a great mother. And she moved and as I said, to Bethlehem, and she was a great mom. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1. I'll do that one up here. Let me show this to you and prove it to you. Watch this. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by everybody say, by who? By Rahab. And Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse, who was the father David. My father-in-law, Samuel, used to preach a message, and the name of the message was, Jesus was not a Jew. Not 100%. When you go through his lineage, you'll find that many other countries are in his lineage. And one of the women that was in his lineage was none other than Rahab the harlot. And Salmon, the father of Boaz, by, everybody say by Rahab. Let me tell you, she was a great mom. Whether you know it or not, she was a great mom. You know what they say? I looked at the stats. They say that if a mother, and they follow this, they say if a mother is 100% committed to God, that her children will stay 100% committed to God. They found that if a mother is 50% committed to God, her children will be below that. And if she's below that, most of the time they'll fall out and don't even complete their walk with God. There's an amazing thing about being 100% that the children continue to be exactly 100%. And three times in the New Testament, this mom is talked about. Rahab the harlot is talked about. And when I look and see the quality of a son she produced in Boaz with Salmon, her and Salmon had, she converted to Judaism in that day. She gave her heart, began to worship the living God. And even when before she'd ever met Salmon and all that, she was a prostitute. But when the spies came, she believed in the living God. And she said, I believe that you're sent by God. I'm going to hide you. I believe God's going to give our city to you. I'm going to begin to do. And the Bible says she began to, by faith, believe what God was going to do. And it translates because years later she leaves and she moves with Israel when they come into the land. Jericho falls. One portion of the wall doesn't fall. It's Rahab's portion. And she brings all of her family out. They move with Israel. When Israel moved into the land and took the rest of Israel, the land of the Jews, the Bible says she moved to Bethlehem and there she married Salmon and she became the mother of Boaz, who was the mother of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of... Everybody say amen this morning, would you? She became a great mom. And three times is listed. The one time we just read here, and that is her son. When you begin to read that, I just read about her son's excellence. He was renowned. Boaz was renowned. And you know other things I find? Why was Boaz attracted to a woman or a young girl that was of another culture than his own? Let me tell you some of the things that you never, or no mistake. Here is Boaz, and his mama, was from Jericho. She was not a Jew. And when this foreign girl, this Moabite, was in the field, there was no racial barrier between the love that Boaz and God was orchestrating. There was no racial barrier between the love that Boaz would have for Ruth. Because Ruth was a Moabite. He was a Jew. And some of the things that God has created you to be, don't think of them as less. Many times it's the very things that God is going to put into your heart. And then you're going to pass that on to your kids. And it's going to have the ability to bring them across barriers that otherwise would have stopped them. And you can imagine, here is Rahab. She's converted. She gives her heart to God. And now she's raising little Boaz. And when she's teaching little Boaz, you know, he knows mama's different. Mama's, you know, she's got an accent. Mama's a little different than the rest of the mothers. But what, instead of being ashamed, she embraced that. And that became what he was. And the day came when another little foreign girl, there was no barrier. There was no problem with stepping across that barrier. And I'm going to tell you, every mom, I don't care how different you are. Whether you grew up here and there, economically rich or poor, whether you grew up in a functional, dysfunctional family, whatever you are, that's going to be imparted unto your children because God has a purpose. And you don't understand it right now, but down the road, when you begin to see this, God will begin to use what you've implanted into your kid, and it's going to go. Everybody say amen to me. Would you come on? What God does, that's going to be the excellent. Second verse, second time it's listed is Hebrews 11:31. And Rahab is honored. It says she is listed in the hero's roll of faith with all the other great, from Samson to Abraham to Moses. In that honor roll of faith is listed this mama. And it says, by faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And it's Rahab is listed in the Jewish Hall of Fame of faith. And when her son then grows up, when Boaz began to grow up, it's no wonder. It's no wonder he became a man worthy. It's no wonder he became a wealthy man. It's no wonder he was thought of so greatly. It's no wonder that when it was his turn now to redeem Ruth and the family, he was willing to. There's no wonder because of her life. And then the last time, we'll do this real fast, is in James chapter 2. She's listed again a third time. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? One says, Hebrews talks about her faith. This one talks about her actions. As I said, it was proven that if a mom is 100%, that her children are going to be 100%. And when little Boaz was a little boy, he sat at the feet of his mama, Rahab. And Rahab shared and talked and told her story and told about what she was and how she put it all on the line. Because sometimes our walk has to match our talk. And in this little family, Rahab's walk matched her talk. And when Boaz became a man of renown in the city of Bethlehem, a lot of what he became was because of a mother named Rahab. She passed it on. Let me tell you this. We're going to end this morning. I want you to watch this video. Get the video ready. Go ahead and crank it up. And it's a video that's a little different than normally I would do, but I really felt the Lord told me to do this. And it's a story of passing on to the next generation that passes on to the next generation. You don't have to be a super what anything. You have to be who you are, who God's made you. She was just Rahab the harlot. And I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've done or not done in your life. You can send your life on to the next generation. The day is going to come when I won't be here anymore. You may not believe that, but it'll happen. The day will come when I will be in heaven. Louisiana, especially right now, Lord, go on, take me. You know, I didn't know where the humidity went, but it has come back on us. And now we're experiencing what's happening is the day will come, though, that my life really is passed on. My life really will be. I listen sometimes and watch my kids. They sound just like Jasmine and I sometimes. And I like that because we're passing on our life. This is a little story. It's an analogy that they did in this little church over in Hawaii. I liked it. And it's about the story of Hannah that really wanted a child so bad and prayed for the child. How many have ever got what you prayed for and then you had some trouble with it? And this is kind of a real life. Go ahead and start it and go ahead and kill the lights and let's watch it together.
Once upon a time, there was a woman who longed for a child. Night after night, she would pray that God would grant her this miracle. But time passed, and it seemed as if her prayers went unheard. Little did she know, God was indeed listening. Her journey was about to begin.
I was waiting for so long for a miracle to come. Everybody told me to be strong, hold on, and don't shed a tear. Through the dark
with God's joy. As her daughter grew, the mother delighted in learning new things about motherhood. The learning process was as intense for the mother as it was for the daughter. Weeks turned into months, months turned into years, and soon her daughter was longing for independence. But it was at this time that the daughter began to understand that a mother's love was not just in her words, but in all her ways.
She's got a way about her. I don't know what it is, but I know that I can't live without her. She's got a way of pleasing. I don't know what it is. There doesn't have to be a reason anyway. She's got a smile that heals me. Oh, I don't know what it is, but I have to laugh when she reveals me. She's got a way of talking. I don't know what it is, but it lifts me up when we are walking anywhere. She comes to me when I'm feeling down, inspires me without a sound. She touches me, I get turned around. Oh, 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 oh. She's got a smile that heals me. I don't know what it is, but I have to laugh when she reveals me. She's got a way about her. I don't know what it is, but I know that I can't live without her anyway.
And as the mother looked back on the memories of the past, her heart was overwhelmed with happiness. Although the home seemed quiet now that her daughter had become a mother and a woman, the journey was far from over, because soon her daughter became a mother too, thus continuing the journey, emerging a new hero.
Never left her footprints on the moon. She's never.
story goes on.
Won't all the, go ahead and keep the lights low if you would just a minute. Why don't all the kids go get with your mom? If you do that right now, would all the kids go get with your moms? And if your mom is here today, get around her real quick. And let's take just a minute. Everybody say amen today. Isn't that great? Let's go ahead while you're doing that. We're going to bow our heads and we're just going to bless you. And all the mothers, just say thank you so much for all that you have done. I've never doubted that all that I'm doing now is because of what my mom's put in me and helped me. Was she perfect? No, not really. And like none of you are. And instead of magnifying your faults, don't do that. You know, God gave you the children that you have. And he gave them for a reason, because he wanted you to impart your life. So, Father, this morning as we honor the moms in this house, I just thank you for they're all, everything, every effort, every sacrifice, everything they ever did that not some may know, but many nobody ever knows about. Thank you for that, Father. We pray a blessing on them. We pray for the grandmothers and the great-grandmothers in this house. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for the heritage being passed on to their children and grandchildren. And Lord, we just ask, protect them, encourage them, strengthen them. And we honor them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody said a great amen. Amen. Give all the mothers a great clap offering today. Would you do that? God bless you. Take them out somewhere nice to eat today. Would you do that right now? Turn around and give your mom a good kiss on the cheek. Would you do that? Give her a good kiss on the cheek and a good hug. God bless you. You're dismissed today. Amen. We need all the worship team to come back up, if you would. We need to help on the stage.